Hello, everyone, and hello, Susan. Thank you all for being here today.
Hello, everyone. Hi, Jeff.
Hello. So we have 90 minutes together today, and we want to introduce the practice of spiritual embodiment. For some of you, this will be more of an update than an introduction because you've already been introduced. But I think some of the thinking has evolved since even a couple of months ago when we did a 6-week program. Certainly, it's evolved for me, and I think it's also evolved for Susan in different ways. So we want to introduce those of you who may not be as familiar with this practice, to the practice and update those of you who are more familiar with where things have evolved to. And this is all, it's an anticipation of the fact that Susan and I will be leading an 8-month training in this spiritual embodiment practice, which I am very, very excited about. So that's what we're doing over the next 90 minutes. And again, I want to thank everybody for being here. I think what we will be sharing with you today is a significant spiritual opportunity. And I'm happy that you have decided to give us this time to share it with you. And so, Susan, before we go on, I certainly would be happy to let you say any words of welcome or introduction.
Thanks, Jeff. I just want to say thank you so much for being here, spending your Saturday with us, and just to share a little bit about my excitement about this course. We did a 6-week course a few months ago, actually, and since then it has grown, and it's grown because of practice, really, and awareness, and it's just very exciting. It's an inner vibration that's been growing, and living in a higher vibration is a lot of fun. And I'm just happy to be here to share it all with you and to invite you all into the program. And I'm thrilled to be having the opportunity to teach with Jeff again and to share the journey with all of you as well. So, for those of you who don't know me, I've been in the mystery school for a while. I don't know how many years. Jeff and I have been together now almost 10 years. He met me a while back when I had my own movement studio, and we hit it off, and we have a lot of commonalities. We come at it from maybe two different directions. I'm a little bit more body-centered, being that I am a somatic educator, but also a spiritual teacher, evolutionary thinker as well. So, but I think most of you know me by now, so I won't bore you with the details. But thank you so much for being here.
Wonderful. And as Susan said, we met not quite 10 years ago, but almost now. And I met at her movement studio, as she said. And I remember that I arrived early, so we had an hour to just walk around and talk. And by the time that hour was done, I thought, ooh, this is, when you've met someone who's kind of not only has something of value to share, but has something of value to share with you. And I thought, oh, I'm gonna learn a lot from this relationship. And I certainly have over the years. So Susan and I have stayed in pretty close contact all through those 10 years, speaking more or less weekly and just talking about Dharma, really, and what we teach and why we teach it the way we do, and comparing it, et cetera, et cetera. And during that time, Susan has taught programs for my online platform, and she's really, I think, expanded what she was doing before into the online space, which opens up all kinds of opportunities, particularly for the reach that you can have with the work that you're doing. And it felt from the beginning that we were destined to do a more intensive program together. At least it felt that way to me. It just, I didn't know what the time frame would be. So the time frame turned out to be about 10 years, which that feels right. Feels like now is the time. So this is the 6 week program was the first substantial program we had taught together. That was a few months ago. We've done smaller things, one-off events and things in the past. But this will be the first truly intensive training that we will do together. And as she said, as Susan just said, our intersection, the places where we are overlap are vast. We overlap much more than we diverge. And where we diverge, as Susan said, really comes from the fact that she came at this through practices that were more body-centered, and I came at this through practices that were more meditative and devotional, more traditionally spiritual. But we've not only met in the middle, but we've sort of you find that besides the on-ramp, there's very little difference. And that difference in comparison is quite fascinating and very illuminating, I think. Even more so because there's so much overlap. And this is the way that I would maybe propose to describe how that works. And I've taught with other teachers before. I like teaching in tandem with teachers where there's significant agreement and yet difference because of the richness it adds to what you're doing. And one way to understand that is by using the metaphor of triangulation. So when you have a distant star, if you're just looking at a star out in the sky, you can't actually tell how far away it is because you don't, you know if it's dim or if it's bright, but you don't know if it's dim because it's very far away or because it's a small star. And there's no way to tell from Earth. But if you measure the angle of that star when the Earth is just before it disappears in the morning, and then you measure the angle as soon as it appears again at night, you'll have the angles from both sides of the Earth and they'll triangulate to a spot, and you can calculate the distance of the star based on those the angles of that triangle. So in some ways, if you have two teachers who are significantly aligned, because obviously it doesn't work if you're not aligned, but if you're significantly aligned and yet there's difference, looking at it through the lens of one teacher's lens and comparing that with the other teacher's lens often allows you to pinpoint the goal more specifically, more precisely than you can, even if you're, even if you're working with, one teacher that you really resonate with. So having that alternate point of view, I find really valuable. And so it's been a joy to develop with Susan over these 10 years. And at this point, to really have, to some extent, come to a common language, which allows us to describe both the similarities and the differences in our approaches. And I have certainly learned an enormous amount from Susan. I've also done her own programs to learn more about her teaching, and I think vice versa is also the same. So we've learned from each other, and I think we have something really special that we're unveiling in this training. I've been thinking a lot about what it is that this work that I do with Susan, this work that we're calling the practice of spiritual embodiment, what it is and how it's different from other things that I teach. And there's two main differences that I see. Well, certainly, maybe they sort of boil down to one in the end, but what we're doing with spiritual embodiment training is really focused on bringing our highest realizations of the true nature of reality and our deepest connection to our innermost being and to the divine aspects of our nature, bringing those into every aspect of life. And why I see that as different from what I have tended to teach in the past is because in most things that I teach, or in the way that I teach practice, and I believe there's validity to this also, but the way that I teach practice is the idea is when you're in your practice, you open, whether it's meditation, whether it's yoga or mantra or prostrations or whatever it is that you're doing as a practice, you give yourself to it so completely that your entire sense of being is expanded and you're brought to the very outer edges of what's possible for you. And all you really are concerned about is giving your heart and soul to that practice that you're doing. And the idea is going that far in your practice, whatever it is, an hour a day, 2 hours a day, whatever you're able to do, will show up in your life as transformation. You will show up differently in life. And that is true. When you give yourself that deeply to practice, you show up differently in life. And that's thrilling because you're not even trying. And yet you see, oh, I used to respond like this, but now I don't anymore. Just naturally, I'm not doing that because I've actually changed. Something's changed. And it's, you can't completely draw a straight line to the practice, but you know it's because of all that practice that you're seeing things differently, that you have a different perspective on life. And so that's more or less how I have tended to teach. And for those of you who know me better, the one exception of that rule is when I've taught about spiritual abundance, which actually I did for the very first time with Susan. So she was also instrumental in that. But so when I teach about spiritual abundance, I teach about bringing an attitude of abundance to your life, always relating to life from a position of abundance, not lack. From a position of gratitude, not grasping, you know, and that's kind of the one advice I've ever given for how to live your life. In the exploration I've been doing with Susan, and I think as a natural part of my own path, actually, I've come to a place where I'm very interested in bringing more deliberate, conscious engagement to every moment of my life, not only to the moments of practice or the moments of study, but to every moment, to the moments of walking down the street, to the moments of doing the dishes. You know, how can I strive to be my fullest self in every moment? And what would it mean to do that? And more interestingly, what would it mean to do that together with a group of people? What would we learn together by giving that kind of attention to the life that we're living? And how would our lives start to transform? And what would we have to share with each other? And to some extent, that's what Susan and I have been doing together, the two of us. But this will be a much more intensive, this 8-month program is a much more intensive opportunity to explore that together. And It really is an exploration. It really is an adventure because I actually don't know what can happen with that kind of attention, particularly with a group of people. But I think the idea is really thrilling to me that I can feel it. I can feel what it means in the sense that I can feel the power of bringing not just your attention in a kind of mindfulness way, but opening up to the higher sense of being and the higher divinity that is always your source, and allowing that, consciously opening to that flow in every moment. I feel intuitively how powerful that would be. What I don't know is what the result will be in the lives that we're living, and what we'll learn from that, and what we'll see about how to live a different kind of human life, a more divine, awakened human life. And so that's what I'm that's what I'm so excited about. That's where I see the opportunity for me, and potentially for others, but certainly for me, this is an opportunity that I am very excited to be taking advantage of, and to be engaged with Susan and others over this time. So Susan, maybe I will stop there and give you a chance to express some of your thoughts as we move into this adventure.
Well, what keeps coming up for me and what has become very apparent in the unfolding of being aware of this subject, spiritual embodiment, since our course, and what I hear you describing, so it's very validating, is I've been having the opportunity to explore the concept of intimacy. And intimacy with the connections that I have in my life, not just the people, but intimacy is a very big concept, obviously, but it has to do with the quality of our connection. So, what is the quality? What are my habits? Is my connection a smothering? Is my connection a hypervigilance? Is my connection a disengagement? Is my connection catatonic? There are so many ways to finesse and play with the concept of intimacy with all relationships, whether it's with my partner, with my own body, with food, with money, with energy, with the divine, with time. All these are forms of energy. And the opportunity that I feel this course and what I've been doing with Jeff and what's been unfolding, it allows me to just explore this concept. How do I show up? What is my comfort level with intimacy? What shuts me down? What puts me into over control? What makes me run away? What are the thoughts? It's very complex and it's very layered, and it's a fun topic to play with. And I'm really excited about being able to dive in with people who are interested in doing the same thing, because we all know the strength of the field is what can carry all of us. And I'm just thrilled. It's a very exciting way to age. That's, it's an exciting way to age. That's all I can say, is because it's not always exciting to think of aging and what is there, and we've all accomplished so much and we've all done so much already. And do we just give all that up? How do we deepen it? How do we use those skills? What are we using it for? How can it enhance our life and keep this ethereal, eternal energy flowing. I think that's fascinating to think about.
I love that you brought in age. I wasn't expecting that,
Neither was I.
but I'm enjoying that you brought it up because yeah, I think it's also part of my experience. I've been on a as similar to Susan, but I've been on a highly dedicated, intensive spiritual quest for about 30 years. And what's exciting to me is that I keep finding things that make it just as thrilling as it was at the beginning. And to me, I don't even feel like I'm aging because my age feels like it's associated with the thrill of exploration and the thrill of discovery. And you mentioned intimacy as something you've been looking into. And I would say I could say intimacy depending on how I define it. But the word that really comes up for me since our 6 week course that's been so loud is presence. So in that 6 week course, Susan, you said something about living with your light on. And for whatever reason, that metaphor really struck me. The idea of living with your light on. And the light on was a big light. It was a divine light. It was the light of love from the highest and deepest sources of being. It wasn't a lesser light. It was the big one. At least that's how I interpreted what you said. And so it's really been interesting. Because I left that 6 weeks kind of fascinated by the idea of presence, and relating to it in a kind of mindfulness way, because I had done mindfulness Buddhist retreats years ago, and I was familiar with that. And so the idea of being present was sort of being aware, paying attention and being aware. But recently, really in the last few weeks, I've been having this growing recognition that what I really want to be aware of is not the intricacies of every moment, meaning, how I'm picking up my glasses and how I'm putting them down on the table, and what it feels like for my steps to go from the ball of my foot to my heel and what I really want to become present to is the subtlety of the passing experience of states of consciousness as they move in and out, as you move through the day and you move into, the way that we typically live is you experience lots of different states of consciousness. You experience joy, and then you experience anger, and then you experience sadness, and then you experience, Susan also mentioned a few of these. You experience focus. There's lots of different states that we experience, but we, at least me, and I think this is typical, I tend to just find myself in them. One after, boom, now I'm here, boom, now I'm here, boom, now I'm here. And I really want to see how my current state of consciousness begins to blend with the coming state of consciousness so that I become aware of being the person that's moving through all states of consciousness. Not just being my angry self and then my happy self and then my inspired self, but seeing, no, I am really that being that is passing through. And I don't know, we've called this 8 month program a training in spiritual embodiment, which would imply that we have a plan for what that will be. And there's certainly some plan, but how whether that will remain even by the time we start is unknown. But since The 6-week program, I've added practice. I intend to just keep adding practices to my own spiritual life and sharing them with you, and who, as they resonate with you can pick up on them, and we can see together if, how it's working. But one of the practices I've been doing is specifically around falling asleep and waking up in the morning, because I started doing some reading about this. So in the evening, as I'm falling asleep, I'm making the effort to pay attention, to consciously pay attention for as long as I possibly can. And really watching the process of falling asleep. And I've been watching, and it's really fascinating to watch. You know, you for a while you kind of go in and out. You're present in the bed, and then you're kind of in a half dream state, and you completely forget that you're in the bed. Then you remember that you're in the bed. And I've just been watching, well, how does this work? Simultaneously, I've been reading the Tibetan Book of the Dead, and they talk about paying attention through all stages of the dying process. That if you're a very advanced yogi, will be able to watch as their body falls away, and they'll be fully present when the light of divinity appears, and then they can merge with that. Somehow I feel like this is good practice for that. And so I've been paying, I really want, I have experienced on a retreat 20 years ago, constant consciousness, where I for 2 nights remained conscious all night, watched myself fall asleep, watched dreams come and go, watched myself wake up in the morning. And that was one of the most profound experiences of my life, because I realized I am always the awareness behind every state of consciousness. And so what I'm feeling now, that, you know, I said I'm feeling just as inspired now as I did in the beginning of this path. I'm feeling the audacious possibility of living in that depth of constant awareness all the time. I don't know if that's my destiny or not, but I cannot tell you how excited I am about that as a possibility, and just this practice of consciously falling asleep at night has been so valuable over the past, say, 3 weeks. And the other practice, which I've been doing around sleep, has to do with waking up. And this is fascinating. Again, I read this. This one I read from an Indian Hindu teacher. But the practice is when you wait, and this is really hard for me. I've been very unsuccessful at this practice so far, but I'm still inspired to try. When you wake up in the morning, you don't move. You don't move a muscle. And then you as soon as you wake up, you just don't move. Now, my problem is I have a long-standing habit of jumping out of bed as soon as I wake up. I've trained myself. I wake up, I'm up. You know, I don't even remember waking up. All I know is I'm sort of standing up in front of the window. I don't know how I got there. It all happens automatically. So this is a bit of a difficult practice for me, but if you can stay away, stay still, and I have somewhat managed this, and you pay attention to the last feeling that you had in sleep, whatever that feeling was that you woke up with, and then you, and I, this is just a metaphor, I don't know how to describe it, but you kind of pull on that feeling. If you keep pulling on it, you'll pull a whole dream through. You'll pull the last dream that you had through. And I have had success doing that. You start with just a feeling, oh, I felt a little sad. And then you sort of lean into that sadness, sort of pull on it, and the whole dream pulls through. And then Supposedly, now this I have not been able to accomplish, but supposedly, once that dream pulls through, if you stay still, the key is not to move, and you keep pulling, you'll pull the next dream through. And if you continue to do that, you'll pull through every dream you had that night from, but you'll do it backwards from the end to the beginning. So I'm at the beginning stages of playing with that, and I see it as just an example of the kinds of practices that could be incorporated into, I'm imagining all of us who are practicing spiritual embodiment will have some practices we all do and other practices which are tailor-made to our own interests. This feels like a good one, at least for me, because it's made me be more conscious. I mean, I go to sleep every night and I wake up every morning. And what an opportunity to generate great presence in my life. So I wanted to offer that as a kind of an example of spiritual, how I understand spiritual embodiment practice, because it means taking these, quote unquote, mundane aspects of life, like falling asleep and waking up, that we do all the time. And really creating out of them opportunities for revelation. And that I am finding to be an absolutely thrilling possibility.
Jeff, you offered during your 6-week course this idea of free space. And that was the practice you were doing then, where you just sat in a room, you designated an hour, I believe you said, to free space, where you just sat in a room with no agenda. And I have been playing with that because I found that fascinating. And also in combination with the desire journal that we started as one of the practices in the 6-week course. And that's also something that I've played on and off with. I know some of you have done my year-long course 2 years ago and or last year, and we did that. But just sitting with no agenda and giving myself that space to unfold has been remarkable because I have gotten to see what's automatic, what feels like a should, what feels like it's like a lot of the things that I do, I think I have to double question myself in a way that's like, is that really what I want to do? It's so subtle. Because a lot of times at a certain, I guess, I'm 60 years old, at a certain point, the things that I automatically do, I think I want to do them. But do I? Right? Because there's so many things that become habitual. And the should runs so deep, just runs really deep. That it feels that I've convinced myself that this is what I want to do. And it has just opened up some spaciousness to question, to explore, and to see what is this, because like I've mentioned, I'm very body oriented. What does my body want to do? What is the yearnings that's coming from within? Within my soma, that would keep that light on, that would create a spaciousness, and continue to allow my energy to continue to flow. So thank you for offering up that, and I've been playing with that. And the other one is that it's opened up a deeper process in the desire journal. Even if I don't have my journal and I'm not sitting down formally and saying, okay, I'm going to sit here and write my desires, I catch myself during the day. What do I desire? What, and I don't even sit there and try to answer. The pure fact that I am asking my brain that question has allowed, it sounds hokey, but it has allowed magic to happen. Because sometimes I don't know what I desire. I'm so used to following a plan and structure of being whatever the identities of my mind have been created in those constructs. The opening up has, and then all of a sudden something will happen, and I'm like, whoa, that's magical. That I didn't even know I wanted that, but it's exactly the vibration of what I did want. And I caught myself the other day. It was a thought that popped into my brain. It just said, I'm free. And that was miraculous for me. I mean, I don't know where all of everyone else is at, but I'm free. And then I started to like feel like a little kid in preschool jumping up and down because I'm free. I can play. And it's not like I'm giving up all my responsibilities and being reckless. It's just an inner feeling that. So I hope I have more moments like that, but cultivating that, I feel the cultivation of that feeling was this practice of A, giving myself the space in free space, and just asking myself that question. What is it that I desire? I don't sit there and belabor trying to fill in the paper. I just keep asking myself the question, and it expands. And before I know it, I'm in a different field and different opportunities that match the vibration of an expanded vibration present themselves. And even if I have a desire, this is the other very fun thing. Even if I have a desire, and I get an idea like, oh yeah, that's something. The pure fun is having desires, whether they come into fruition or not. The pure fun is living in that state of having desires and being there. Not from a force in a sense of like, oh, I'm going to sit here and try to heighten my vibration. I'm going to try and heighten my vibration. It's something that, I don't know, it felt like it was breathed into me in a sense. So it's just been, and I just can't wait for. To stay in this field and to have it be strengthened because of continuous practice with other people that are doing the same thing and for more than 6 weeks, you know, for an extended time. So I'm just very excited. That's all.
No, I love that. And I love what you said about freedom, because in a way, it was occurring to me that one of the great benefits of this form of practice, bringing this kind of practice into your life, is that you do win freedom. You gain freedom because you do see how things can be different. You do see more opportunities and more potentials than you might habitually see. So that's beautiful. And the other thing that I was thinking as you were saying that, and I'd like to use this to maybe move us into a bit of a practice together. The other huge revel that 6 week course that we did a few months ago was much more revelatory than I was anticipating at the time. And I think that's a testament to what I was saying earlier, that when you cross-pollinate to a very aligned but different points of view, you have insights that you don't normally have. But a big one for me was that by the end of that 6 weeks, I had a very palpable sense of how every moment there is an infusion of energy from a higher source. I like to call that a divine source, but that may or may not be language that works for you. But certainly a higher source or a deeper source or an expanded source. I like divine source. That there's always an infusion of higher energy into every moment. We're constant, our life, our animated existence is being sustained by an energy beyond us all the time. And there was a palpable sense of that dawning, ongoing recognition. And at the same time, there's always this response to that. There's always and from inside yourself, kind of reaching out toward that which is reaching in. And so I started to experience this, which in some traditions is talked about as the involution of energy from the divine and the evolutionary movement towards that source. But really starting to feel, and we started to talk about what it would mean to live in an ongoing, direct sense of that sort of spiritual engine of infusion of energies from divinity and that inspired movement toward the source that it elicits in us. And so I want to invite us into a short practice together. Which is a really more of a contemplation than a meditation. And it can begin just by finding a very comfortable position in which to sit. Or lay down. But really to allow yourself to be comfortable. I think physical comfort in spiritual practices is sometimes underrated. And I understand why. It's because often in our spiritual practice, we want to develop perseverance and resolve. And so we don't want to create the habit of fidgeting constantly to improve our comfort. That being said, the beauty of being older and having been on the path longer is your resolve is pretty well set. You don't get extra points for pain at some point, and the practice deepens with comfort. So allow yourself to find a position that's comfortable. And just settle into rest. I think a big part of this work of spiritual embodiment involves developing greater subtlety and sensitivity of feeling. And so as you sit comfortably, See if you are able to identify the experience of inspiration. When we feel inspired, such a lovely word. When we feel inspired, we often experience it as a kind of excitement. Say, high frequency, energetic, bodily experience. Inspiration feels alive. It makes us feel alive. When we're inspired, we feel alive. I can feel inspiration in my body. Partly as a tingling, energetic sensation throughout my body, particularly on my skin. It's a feeling of being charged up. And then in my heart, there's a kind of ache, but not a bad ache, an ache of anticipation. It's an ache of desire, passion. And I feel that as two aspects of the experience of inspiration. You may feel something similar or something different, but allow yourself to identify the experience of inspiration. Wherever you find it, however it looks. Inspiration is such a beautiful word. Its root is spirit. Spirit is that within us which is alive, with life energy. And life energy is love. We are being infused with spirit and love all the time. And we are accepting it, reaching towards it, as if reaching for a gift all the time. What happens when we live constantly aware that we are always in direct contact with the divine, that we are never entirely alone? And that every aspect of our being, our physical bodies, our energetic bodies, our minds, and our spirit are constantly being infused with by an unimaginable source of love. How does this ongoing sense of divine presence transform our lives? What happens when we've lived in the glow of that presence for a week or a month or a year? Who do we become? What do we express? Just allow yourself to rest in the wonder of existence. Okay, thank you all very much. We can end that practice. But I would like to share one last thought with you that's become very important to me over the last couple of months. Some of you have probably heard me say this, others have not. It's occurred to me. This gets back to Susan's very interesting mention of age, which I'm not thinking about in terms of our physical lives as much as our spiritual lives. But at a certain point, connecting with higher potentials, like we just did in that practice, feeling our connection to the divine, sensing it. While, of course, we can always become more sensitive, more connected. But we have the capacity What I think is the more fertile ground for growth for most of us is in learning how to remember to be in that connection all the time. And that is what I see as a crucial part of this practice of spiritual embodiment. Developing and growing our capacity to remember who we are, to remember the divine, the mystery, the miracle of existence. It's so easy for us to forget, to get busy, to get distracted. Life is a continuous opportunity for distraction. And so, one of the things that I am thrilled about is to have that sustained opportunity to develop my own ongoing moment-to-moment remembering of who I really am and the true nature of existence. So thank you all for that practice.
Thank you, Jeff, for leading that. What's been coming up is this, I studied Taoism for a very long time in my physical practices, and it was always about creating the spaciousness and the container of my being for being able to hold more of life. So the more tension and spaciousness we create with a certain level of integrity. I'm not talking about pulling ourselves apart and not having integrity in the body, but to become a container. So the more of life I can hold. So as I studied that for the last 30 years, that's always been in the back of my mind, that I revisit. And the more spaciousness I create in my mind, in my body, in my energetic field, releasing, dissolving, not releasing, I don't like that word, dissolving the tension patterns in my mind and in my limiting constructs and in my physical being. In actuality, what becomes is this ability to hold more divine. So we keep making space for the divine, we hold more of the divine. And that vibrancy, like you said, is youth. That vibrancy is agelessness. So that was a beautiful practice. Thank you. And really, all it is about remembering. Fascinating. One of those insights that sound so trite when you say them out loud, but when they land with a gravity, They mean so much. So thank you.
I think what I'm wanting to mention is that the other aspect of this practice, so we've been speaking about spiritual embodiment in terms of bringing our more of who we are to every moment of life. But another aspect of that, which we spoke about a lot in our 6-week program, but haven't so much tonight, is that that's not only a mental exercise or an exercise of awareness or perception. It's about bringing all of yourself into this moment, which means all your physically, bringing your physical self fully present, bringing your energies and emotions fully present, bringing your minds also fully present, and of course your spirit. But part of the joy of this work has been giving equal attention to all aspects of our being. Because often when we are doing any kind of transformative work, it may focus on one aspect. You may be working more on your on spiritually, or you may be working mentally or emotionally or energetically or physically, but they tend to be somewhat compartmentalized, and there's some value to that, of course. You can't always do everything at the same time. But what we are exploring with this practice is how to bring all of those aspects of our being into a higher harmony, to harmonize all levels of our being so that they're all working together. That's the beautiful thing, as you start to feel like, oh, my body is working with my emotions, and my emotions are working with my energy, and my energy is working with my mind, and my mind is working with my spirit. They're all, it is literally like an orchestra that's well conducted, where all the instruments are supporting, they're all playing their part in support of the music. And the music isn't created by only one or two instruments, it's created by all of them. And so I have found it exciting and thrilling to start to give more attention to more aspects of myself in terms of practice, but also in terms of just bringing yourself into the moment. For me personally, my body is generally an afterthought. I'm much better at bringing my spirit and my mind into the moment, and to some extent my emotions. But my vital energies in my body, I've just always assumed they come along with me. It didn't occur to me that they could come more or less. And it's been exciting to see that I can be more physically present, that I can bring my bodily energies and my physical existence more, into existence, into manifestation more, and how that influences everything else. So that's another aspect of this practice that I think I wanted to make sure we touched on as we are introducing how this works. Is there anything else, Susan, that you are feeling at this moment?
Just the just tagging on to what you just said, because that is something obviously that has been part of what's been staying around since our 6-week course, becoming aware of the different parts of myself and what's there, when it's not there, what I've been experiencing. For me, I do a lot of body movement, as you all know. Well, maybe some of you do not, but I dance, and oftentimes I hear You need to put more of yourself into the move. And I really didn't understand that because I'm working hard and I'm doing my physical best and I'm putting my power into it. And as I've been exploring this, what I found was what was getting in my way was a mental aspect, like the confidence, the just, what were the mental blocks that were creating the energetic block that my coaches were seeing that wasn't coming through. So it was like it has given me this opportunity to explore the different aspects of the self and how they can work together and how they can get in my way, what's getting in my way, and how to fuse together, like, like a tea bag seeps in tea and creates that beautiful cup of tea. There's so many different layers to that, just like there are so many different layers to the complex human condition. And it's been a very informative, interesting, and fun exploration to stay aware of all the different pieces and really knowing how to work with them all, from our course and what we did explore in skills and the different practices that we used on how to dissolve or how to seep like tea. So it's interesting when we go to create something. What gets revealed to us is what's really in our way. And then we have the tools to dissolve it, talk about it, explore it. And that's what I feel the course really offers the opportunity for, because we'll all be traveling together and we'll all be offering things that helped, because everyone we'll approach it differently. Of course, Jeff and I will give different tools, different guidelines, but something's going to come up. Many things will come up for each of you. And for all of us to have that discussion, I think will be incredibly informative, to have that space to have different points of view. And so that's what came up for me.
Oh, it's fantastic. Great. So maybe in a few minutes, just a handful of minutes, we'll see if anyone has anything they'd like to share or a question they would like to ask. But I'll take a minute or two just to point out that we are doing this 8-month program. It may be something that is resonating with you. I consider that to be really a container for an exploration, a container for an adventure. And the idea is that we will have 4-hour workshops once a month. So we'll have plenty of time to do practices together and to explore together. We'll have 90-minute sort of coaching slash discussion calls once a month so that we can process the practices that we're adding and that we're working with. We can learn from each other that way. And there'll be, other elements of this container, small group work and online forums. And the idea is, and this is what I loved this about the 6-week program, and we all need this, and I need it as much as anybody. A container for that kind of focus is so valuable. Because life tends to scatter us. Life tends to pull us in all kinds of different directions. And making a commitment to a more intensive engagement, especially with a group of people, I find it really intensifies my focus, my ability to keep this practice in mind, keep this these dimensions of my growth process always in the forefront of my mind because I'm living with you and we're doing this together. And so it just makes it so much easier. You're in that field of mutual interest. And so this container is there to help us learn and explore and have this adventure. And the field that gets generated through our mutual engagement will support all of us. So I just wanted to say just a few practical things about that. And of course, I hope that you'll think about the possibility of joining us on that adventure. And if there's anything anyone wants to share or ask, just simply raise your hand. Hello, Adriana.
Hello. I'm so happy with being with both of you and all the rest. I really feel honored to be here. And in the sacredness of this moment, I want to share a little thing that I wrote during the inspiration meditation that we just did. And it came out like this: as inspiration, as a bridge of golden light that devotes to building bridges, I find delightful to find the cross-pollination of Jeff as meditative, devotional, and spiritual, and Susan as vibrational, higher vibrational, body-centered, as aspects present in me as my involutionary and evolutionary path to divinity, with my bridging into my mythopoetic awakening practice and my living energetically aware practice. It's for me the perfect opportunity for my spiritual embodiment at this point of my evolution. Infinite, infinite gratitude for this. This
Wow.
beautiful container that I absolutely need right now. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Adriana. That was beautiful. And much love to you too, of course. Thank you. Hello, Alain.
Hello, Jeff and Susan. I have taken an initial course with Susan in which you participated, Jeff, as well as the course, the 6 weeks course. And I was wondering, I understand it's going to be not just quantitatively different, but qualitatively different to be on that journey for 8 months. But could you highlight what might be some of the key differences so that I do sense, I feel deep need for embodiment at this time of my.
So you mean differences between what? The 6 week course and the 8 week, 8 month?
Yeah, between the 6 week and the eight.
Well, I'll tell you one which interestingly appeared for us pretty quickly, because we had one plan for the 8 month course when the 6 week course started, which was to go more deeply. The 6 week course had been oriented as first looking at the physical, then the energetic, then the mental, then the spiritual. And we thought, oh, we'll have 8 months. We can drill down even deeper into each one of those. But after about a week of talking about it, we thought, well, that doesn't make any sense. We can't do one and then not do the last one for months later, right? We have to do all of them at once. So one very qualitative difference will be that the exploration will include all dimensions of being from the start and will be an exploration of all dimensions of being all the way through. So obviously we may focus here or there as we go through it. But when you look at at how we've outlined the 8 months, it's not about looking at this dimension and then that dimension and the next dimension. It's all about a progression of deepening harmonization of all dimensions at the same time. So, I mean, I'm sure there'll be other qualitative differences, but that was a huge one. That was a big revelation to certainly to me. And yes, Susan, go ahead.
No, and I just want to mention because I know that can feel overwhelming as well, but not necessarily, but also to share that we did create a workbook already for the course. So, if there's an area that someone wants to specify and spend more time with, this is, you'll have this as a guide as well. But it's not like we're going to be using this book in necessarily a linear fashion. It'll be your tool so that you can explore the program as what resonates for you in that moment. That's the whole thing, is being in the moment and coming to the moment with whatever is present for you. And just like that free space exploration, like what area do I like, what am I hankering for, yearning for, what is my desire, where do I? So I think it'll be organized but unorganized in a way, to create a free flow and a bio individuality in the moment, so that there's it's really your exploration, not ours.
Thank you. That makes a lot of sense.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you.
Hello, Nancy.
Hi. First of all, I want to say I really got inspired by the triune piece, only because I've had three come at me in multiple ways in the last 2 or 3 days. And so it's like, okay. And so it always gets interesting for me when something is coming at me and then it lands. And so for me, a landing of that, is pretty significant. Then the other thing for me is more around the question, two questions. One is, the year-long intensive that you're doing this year, will you be continuing that next year, Jeff? And then how will, I mean, I know there's similar, everything in consciousness is overlapping and everything is contributing, but I guess what I'm also trying to figure out is financially how. Is there going to be a financial payment plan that I can manage? Can I do both? Should I do both? Blah,
Right.
blah, blah.
Well, fair enough. And I will do something in the mystery school as an intensive program. I mean, that I intend to do that for the rest of my life until I can't do it anymore, because that's an important part of my practice. And what I'm excited about in relationship to this is to see how this stream cross-pollinates with that stream, and I don't know how that will be, because I don't know. So yeah, that is more news in terms of next year will come, but that's my short answer.
Okay, so for me, the body piece is critically important, and not just because I've had some challenges, because that's part of it, but more because of I've understood for quite some time that when I'm dealing with physical challenges, there is an underlying something or other going on, and then energetically, I work with the body as much as I do all the different levels of me.
Sure.
And so my body is de very definitely a part of how I am, and I may manifest it not in movement, but with my voice, with singing and expression and all of that, but everything that I do kind of all ties in for me. Makes sense.
Absolutely. Well, look, I mean, in terms of the body, I don't know of anyone I would want to work with other than Susan in terms of the body piece of transformation. So, that is something that we all, and myself included, get the benefit of when Susan's in the room. So I could give a wholehearted endorsement for that aspect of this program. Yeah, there was something else that popped into my head, but it's not, it popped right out again, and that's the memory piece. But yes, so I mean, this Susan has been, I think, really important to both of us, Nancy, over these last few years. So, my endorsement of her is very high.
Great. Thank you.
It's just very exciting to me, all of this. Some of you I know quite well, others of you I don't, but as I said earlier, my inspiration is as high now as it's ever been. In some ways, higher, because when I got started on the path when I was 29, I didn't have anything like the experience I have now, both spiritually and in life. So this isn't just like beginner's mind. This is beginner's mind with an enormous wealth of experience behind it, which is what we all have. And so that's very thrilling. Yes, Alon, did you want to say something else?
Just a quick additional question. When are you planning to start it? You may have said it or written it somewhere, but I didn't see it.
It's September, the 20th of September.
Okay, very good. Okay, that it
Thank you.
will work. Thank you.
All right. Well, Susan, if you have any last parting words, I just want to say thank you to everybody for being here. And I'm feeling so much joy and love already. And thank you, Susan, for being the inspiration that you are. And for being here today and for being part of this adventure.
I just want to say thank you for sharing your time and opening your hearts to listening about the program. And even if obviously you don't join, I hope today was inspirational for you. And I just thank you for being in my vibe. And I look forward to sharing a whole year. I think it's eight, is it eight, it's 8 months,
It's
right?
8 months, yes.
8 months. And I'm just really excited to see how the field of transmission coagulates, comes together, and supports all of us. So it's a beautiful intention, and it just can't be bad.
Fantastic.
Just can't go wrong in my eyes.
Well,
Thank you. Thank you,
thank you,
Jeff,
Susan.
for just sharing all of this. I'm very, very, I just really am always give gratitude for you walking into my studio that day years ago, how that happened, I'm sure with divine intervention. So I'm very appreciative that we've grown this way.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone. If you have any questions, feel free to email. Do check out the information about the program and just see if it speaks to you. And one way or another, I look forward to seeing all of you again very soon. Thank you all. Much love.
Bye.
Bye now.